Oh, that's right. You heard him. All week, we are staying up all night until Friday night's game, UNLV against Stanford in Brooklyn, baby. Ray Brewer, I am Taylor Byrne. You're listening to The Rebel Room. A very exciting week here as men's basketball gets into the, you know, kind of some of the big games that we've been talking about all offseason in this non-conference slate. They're 2-0 after a rocky weekend at home that we're going to get into with a couple of victories against mid-majors, and they go to the Barclays Center this week. Thankfully, I'm heading out to New York tomorrow on Tuesday, so I only have to go tonight without sleep. Brewer, it's going to be a rough week for you if you're not sleeping until Brooklyn.
I love to sleep.
You do. You do. You have probably the most normal sleeping schedule of anyone in sports in this town.
I went to bed at 9:30 Saturday night.
Wow. That's actually, I take it back, that's not normal. No one does that.
And I felt great.
So you and I were both, actually, let's get it out of the way. Football, in between the two basketball games this past weekend, they were at home Friday and Sunday. The Rebel football team was at BYU on Saturday. I went to Utah for the game. 42-23 loss. They covered the number, which is something. But as I wrote on LasVegasSun.com, the outcome, the way it played out, everything, it just felt completely inevitable. Like I never – you asked me just before we started recording, you know, after Shaquille Murray Lawrence's 68-yard touchdown, which was a great run.
Electrifying.
Like, got to give him credit on that. Zigzagging, going back and forth, it was phenomenal. You asked me if I thought that they had a chance after that, and I laughed.
Well, first thing, how cool is it for me, not at the game, that – I watched UNLV football on HD.
Yeah.
It's rare that they're on something. A network where you're able to watch it on HD.
Yeah, they were on ESPNU this weekend.
Which was neat for me.
Yeah, a side note here, the game time kickoff for the Battle for the Fremont Cannon on November 29th was announced earlier today. That's going to be at 7:30 at night, which means the basketball game on November 29th against Albany is moving to 3:30 in the afternoon. And that game, the football game, is on ESPNU, so it will not be on one of the five networks that gets you bonus money, which means that UNLV, for the second year under this restructured TV bonus coming out of the Mountain West, basically begging Boise State to stick around, the new structure will pay UNLV exactly $0 over the past 2 years.
And even though they were on that old Mountain network back in the day that nobody watched and you couldn't recruit because nobody knew what the Mountain network was, they still got
money. You still got money because it was evenly distributed. When Boise State came back and held everything over the Mountain West, they got it so that appearing on ESPN, ESPN2, ABC, CBS, or Fox would get you a $500,000 payday for a Saturday game. And obviously Boise State is the one biggest benefactor of that. They got $1.6 million last year. I think it's in the neighborhood of that this year. I haven't gone through everything yet. But UNLV and Hawaii, the only programs – to not get any money these 2 years. So just another slap in the face. I think, you know, it wasn't a good deal for, you know, the entire conference. It was a good deal for Boise State. And yeah, the Mountain West just wanted to keep Boise State. They did whatever they could. And UNLV gets kicked in the teeth for it.
You weren't here, but the Mountain West used to be a cool little league. Had BYU, Utah, TCU.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool to have all those teams? That'd be fun.
Sure.
I mean, the result would be similar for UNLV.
Yeah.
Kicked in the face type of loss. But the finances would be different.
Mine most likely. I don't know. I mean, everything – college football is moving one way and UNLV another. So they're just not going to be in line with any of the big type of money that's moving around. Back to the game. First time they played BYU, speaking of, since they left the Mountain West in 2011 – just, you know, BYU is not very good this year, especially since they lost Taysom Hill back in the Utah State game. And it's exactly what I expected it to be. UNLV not taking chances, not doing anything that's going to end up winning them the game, because getting field goals doesn't do you any good when you know that you're going to be chasing the entire time. Because they gave up, you know, multiple touchdown drives that took less than 2 minutes. That's who they are. Like, you need to acknowledge that and stop pretending like all of a sudden you're going to get these key stops and that way keeping it as a 3-point deficit instead of going all out for the touchdown on fourth down when you're inside the 5-yard line. I just I just don't get their mentality there. But the to their credit, I don't think the team has really given up on Bobby, but it doesn't matter because they're not very good.
Yeah, they aren't very good. I actually thought they were just going to get absolutely steamrolled. And the fact that they kept it close for as long as they did either says that BYU was awful or that UNLV has some decent pieces. They just are only good for a quarter at a time because they're just decent and not good or great.
Yeah. I wouldn't say BYU is awful, but they are probably average to below average. UNLV is awful.
Yeah.
Like, that's just that is what it is. 2-9 overall, 1-5 in league play. They head to Hawaii this week. And then, like I said, battle for the Fremont Cannon against Reno on November 29th.
Would you say that UNLV has the best two receivers in the league, though?
They're certainly in the conversation. It's hard to say best because, I mean, on paper, Devontae Davis is, but he's been gone for long. You know, he's had a lot of drops this year that he didn't in the past. I think that's directly related to the wrist injury that he had to have surgery on. They're certainly in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, the receiver is not the position that's a problem.
Yeah. And would Devontae Boyd be as prolific as he is if Devontae Davis played all year?
Yeah, you know, it's tough to say because, you know, coming into the year, that seemed like a strength. They would roll stuff over to Davis, and then that would leave Boyd or Kendall Keys in potential, you know, kind of one-on-one situations. Anyway, just on pretty much every front, UNLV just not nearly good enough this season. It's just – it's a disappointing one, 2-9. Probably a change coming at the coach. You know, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. I think it's time. I don't want to rehash all of that too much, but I get why they gave him the extension when they did because he's going into the last year. You're trying to give him every chance to succeed that you can, but this is his worst team in his fifth year. And with that schedule, things certainly not getting any better. Buyout, you and I just did the math, should be $700,000 if they were to do it after this season. So we'll see.
Do you think you get one big check? I mean, obviously,
it's monthly installments.
Is it?
Yeah.
For how many months, though? I'm just curious.
I got to look that up.
Because I think the Auburn coach who led him to the national championship.
Chizik.
Yeah, I think he's getting some absurd amount, like $60,000 a day for 3 years or something.
It's something like that. Yeah.
God,
it's just kind of funny.
Bobby Bonilla gets $1 million.
Oh, he's still getting paid by the Mets.
Yeah.
Best contract ever.
Yes.
Deferred payment.
Yes.
Anyway, I promised we'd go little on football, and so we need to move on because none of us want to keep talking about this. Basketball tipped off the 2014-15 season Friday night against Morehead State. Had to survive. By 1, 60-59. Come back Sunday. Played out almost exactly the same way. Rebels again fall down by 11 before rallying, getting a nice counterpunch there, led by, I think, 6 or 8. Actually, I know it was 8 going down the stretch in the final 5 minutes, but Sam Houston State keeps it close. UNLV ends up holding on, gets another stop on the final possession. They win 59-57. Ray,
2-0.
On Monday last week, you said that the one thing that we would be sure about today is that UNLV would be 2-0. I cautioned you against that. They won them, but those were good teams, but also UNLV, you know, they got some holes to fix here.
UNLV, I was at the game yesterday, clearly has some offensive deficiencies. First half, Rashad Vaughn limited just 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of looked minorly disinterested, kind of reminded me a little bit of the Finley Prep Gorman game at South Point where he just couldn't find a rhythm. And UNLV fortunate to be 2-0, but both Morehead and Sam Houston State are good teams. I will say this, that 14-3 or 4 run UNLV had in the second half there, you kind of saw the potential there. They got some fast break points. They were playing great defense. Fans were energized.
It was all from that zone again, which is the same way it was when they made their run against Morehead State. It was getting stops there and running out of it. You know, that's what Dave has been selling as, you know, kind of the new UNLV or new slash old UNLV style for a while. And you're right, we are seeing it for stretches, but you know, the key there is stretches. Like, it's, you know, it's still searching for consistency. It's still finding your spots on defense, which in the zone should not be hard. But, you know, some freshmen still just kind of getting out of position.
Yeah, zone's not played much in high school. It's mostly man-to-man. So even though the zone has worked, the players in the zone, it's relatively new for them in terms of being in a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're using a 1-2-2 with a lot of times Doolin's at the top. I'm usually just the point guard. When Pat McCaw has been in there a little bit, he's been up at the top. By the way, that's the kid that I've come out most impressed with out of this first weekend. I liked Pat a lot coming into the year, but he's a do a little bit of everything kind
had
of guy.
That hustle
for them.
Play on the baseline.
Yeah,
there.
That was a great one. Just save the ball and allow.
Got another possession.
Cody ended up dribbling it around a bunch, drained the clock, and then got fouled to go to the free throw line where he missed shots. That's one thing. You know, UNLV for the past couple of years, free throws have really been a problem. And again, they attempted, and this is a staggering number to me, they attempted more free throws in one of those games. They attempted 27 in each of them than Morehead and Sam Houston State attempted combined, which was 24. And yet both of the games were close in large part because UNLV was awful at the free throw line, barely above 50%.
Taking the ball to the rim, being aggressive, drawing the foul. Now you just got to make the free throws. Doolin, an 80% career shooter coming into the season, didn't look that way.
His form looks
I was just
going to
say that.
Like, I cannot believe that he's been that good of a free throw shooter before. It's amazing to me when you watch it. But it's not just him. You know, Rashad was struggling with that a lot. Rashad actually just the Sam Houston State game overall really just struggled to just finish plays. I think he was able to create some stuff and it just wasn't falling. He was clearly getting frustrated there in the first half as he shot like 1 of 6 or 1 of 7.
1 of 7 for 2 points.
Yeah. And eventually got to go and led the team again in the second game with 18 points, but it came on 19 shots. So not exactly what you're looking for there, but overall 26 points in the first game, 18 in the second game, huge 3-pointers in both of them, critical moments there in the second half. So Vaughn overall certainly delivering thus far. Cody Doolin has been phenomenal. Good Luck Okonobo has 13 total blocks. Well, the stat book says he has 13 total blocks.
Those,
am not positive.
They're wildly inaccurate, the stat keepers. I said it. Go ahead, question me out on it.
I don't know about wildly inaccurate, but those are the ones, especially since we know the person keeping the stats now. I just, with blocks, I feel like guys often get the benefit of the doubt if they just affect the shot as to whether they actually hit it or not, but I could be wrong on that. I don't always have the best vantage point. It's just, that's something that I'm following pretty closely this year. And so I'm, trying to get the numbers as accurate as possible.
Two things for me, Good Luck and Dwayne are long.
Oh yeah.
I'm home.
Pat is long.
Yeah, but Good Luck.
And we already knew about Wood.
His wingspan is got to be off the charts, and he's well put together. I think the one player who we haven't seen his full potential yet is probably Dwayne. He just hasn't had a chance to get off offensively. He probably just needs a few shots to fall in succession because he was a prolific high school scorer.
Yeah.
We've seen it in practice. At least the one time I went to practice, he was a good shooter. I think there's a player who, if he develops and comes into his own, because right now Doolin's not a scorer, but it's okay. He facilitates the offense, gets the ball into other people's hands. If Vaughn is off like he was in the first half, who's going to score? Chris Wood, as you said a million times, hesitant to take
get
the ball.
In the post. My word.
Hesitant to get the ball. And now you see where he's – when he has the ball in his hands and he's on the outside, he wants to shoot, but he knows he shouldn't shoot, and that indecision is going to kill him. And Good Luck is a work in progress to be polite offensively. So where's the offense going to come from if Vaughn's off? Dwayne's a perfect candidate.
Mm-hmm.
He just needs one game to kind of get that confidence, because I think he's the one player that has the potential to be great, and and he's got a slow start.
Yeah, he's tricky just because so far we've seen him take a lot of bad shots as far as just contested, long twos, those type of thing. But when he's open, you absolutely want him looking to score and those type of things. So I think it's just about finding his spots on the floor, finding the best situations for them to get those looks. Cody actually in the Sam Houston State game, from the start was trying to be more assertive on offense, ended up scoring 10 points. Chris Wood, there was one possession. Look, I understand if people think that I am way too hard on the kid, because I feel like all off season I've been just banging the same drum.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all because you can see the potential. You can see how great he could be if he gets everything lined up. But there was one possession where he had to talk himself out of a three-pointer, and then when he got the ball in the post against a guy who was like a foot shorter than him, it took him so long to decide to try and do something. Like,
yeah, it's mental right now. It's not physical. He doesn't know what he wants to do when he gets the ball. He wants to be Kevin Durant and shoot it from the outside.
He wants to do the things that he's seen in the NBA, and that's just not who he is, or not who he. That's not the best version of what he can be right now, and that's not what UNLV needs him to be. They need him to be a dominant post player, because good luck is not that. Good luck is going to give you some dunks and some putbacks, and that's great because he's really helping defensively.
He's Joel Anthony.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, the comparison that's always made is Nerlens Noel, because Good Luck and Nerlens have played with each other in high school and AAU, both, you know, very good shot blockers with limited offensive games. You know, that's just who he is right now. So you need it coming from somewhere else. Dwayne is undersized as the power forward, which is where he's playing this season. People who keep saying he needs to be a starter, he's going to get starter's minutes, but they're playing him at the four. So it's either him or Wood. You know, that's just what it is. Quit. And I've always been the type of person who cares way more about minutes than starting, but some people don't think that way. So I've tried to relay that information. Dwayne's going to be a big part of this team.
Yeah, and Kendrick played 11 minutes last night.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to figure out what to do. I think Patrick McCaw ends up being the starter in at the three spot. That's what I predicted before the year, and that's absolutely what I think after watching two games. But let's.
I can't believe you didn't even mention the one player that's parked the whole game for UNLV.
Cornish?
I thought so.
He was good.
He impressed me. I couldn't figure out why he didn't play the first game after he came in, and he was great defensively. Huge energy at the end of the first half.
He was okay defensively.
I thought. I mean,
He wasn't closing out particularly well, and I saw him lost a couple of times. But again, that was his first. Yeah, that was his debut.
Game. First college game.
And his first college points were a game tying three.
Yeah,
like he was. I do think you're right. He was very good in that spot. Kind of helped get the rally going, and then Doolin found Vaughn and then McCaw for two threes in three possessions.
If this was the old days when kids stayed for 4 years, UNLV would be awesome in 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is that some of these guys are those type of guys.
You would think Cordish and McCaw.
McCaw, for sure. I'm not sure how long
you 2 years.
Jordan sticks around. And I don't mean for the NBA.
Sure.
Just as the... He's the ninth guy in the rotation. If he accepts that, great. But not every player will accept that. You know, a kid who was signed to play in the SEC, you know, coming here. We'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, Good Luck should be around past this year. Dwayne Morgan should be around past this year. I think Chris Wood should, but I anticipate that probably won't happen. As you mouthed that our listeners do not know, you just questioned NBA. I think he'll get some bad advice and potentially get your passport ready. Yeah. We'll see, though. I think he can be such a great college player if he puts it together. And a pro, you know, eventually. But he's still young, still needs to mature, you know, physically and just mentally, emotionally needs to come bigger. But let's pivot to those games in Brooklyn. Stanford Friday. Three Vegas kids on the Cardinals squad.
No relation.
Huh?
Roscoe Allen, Marcus Allen, and Malcolm Allen.
They are all Allen. I didn't think about that. Well, except that two of them
are related.
Yeah, good luck.
Two are twins.
Good luck selling that those two aren't related. Marcus and
Malcolm.
Malcolm. How much playing time?
Very little. Marcus was like a 12-minute a game guy last year during the Sweet 16 run, and I think yesterday he might have played 4 minutes against South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And Roscoe Allen, who had been hurt basically his first 2 years.
Yeah, he actually had a really good day yesterday.
Yeah,
career high 17.
Yep. I don't know if he's a sophomore or a junior.
I think he's a sophomore.
He's a third-year guy there, but I don't know if he got a medical. Because I don't know.
Yeah.
Either way.
I will be looking, you know, mentioning those guys more as we get closer to the game. UNLV is just going to have to be a lot better in two areas, and this is kind of what I wrote about after the Sam Houston State game, looking at Stanford, have to hit some more free throws. A, you're not going to get the whistles that you got at the MAC. That was ridiculous. They were huge. They were in the bonus like midway through all four halves that they've played so far. Like, that is not going to happen. And so then you really have to maximize the trips you do get to the free throw line. They just have to shoot better there. It's not going to be good enough shooting 52%. It's just not. You can't win games that way.
A lot of players on this UNLV roster who played high-level high school AAU, highly thought of, they're going to an area where it's a great area for basketball, a big stage. I think they rise to the occasion, and you see a better performance. My humble opinion.
And the other thing, defensive rebounds.
God, I agree with you.
Yeah, they got out-rebounded on the offensive boards 38 to 20 over the two games. Part of that is the zone defense because, A, it's been working. Like, they held Sam Houston State to 30% shooting, and so that's just going to, you know, more misses creates more opportunities for the opponent to grab an offensive rebound. And then when you're in a zone, as opposed to when you're just guarding somebody, you know, sometimes you have to, all right, before you just look for the ball, you have to look for your man to block out first because you're not already on him. So those are the excuses, but either way, it has to be better. There's just no question.
Agreed.
But I don't know. I come out of the first weekend, and I'm usually always this way early in a season. I just kind of look at the optimistic view. I've been really impressed by Cody Doolin. I think good luck is, you know, I've been predicting foul trouble for him, you know, for a long time. Hasn't really seen it yet, but part of that, again, is just that the calls weren't going against UNLV very much. He was jumping at everything. I think Stanford's going to get him off his feet quite a bit, and so that's going to test him. That's good. That's what they need to learn from. You schedule these kind of games to get better. This is going to be an opportunity, and obviously if they're able to win, then most likely it sets up the first game against Duke since 1991. Number four Blue Devils have Temple Friday night after the UNLV Stanford game. Both of those at the Barclays Center on True TV. I think there's a few, you know, 100 or so maybe UNLV fans that I've heard of. You know, just kind of a group that's going out. I'll be curious to see overall what kind of crowd the Rebels get. Obviously, there's going to be some, you know, people who live in New York with UNLV ties. Hopefully, they turn out.
It's a national brand, UNLV.
It has been, yeah, and I think, you know, that's what they're trying to make it again, especially with recruiting all across the country and playing these games.
Play good on this stage, you got a better chance to get kids from all parts of the globe.
Absolutely. So, how are you kind of feeling? You were at the Sam Houston State game, not the Moorhead game, but you were, you know, you read everything, followed along.
I'm very positive in my outlook on the team, and that little 5-minute stretch where they had that rally was good enough for me to drink the Kool-Aid to think that this team's got some potential to click.
Yeah. And we'll see. I like that 1-2-2 zone a lot. I almost, for a while, I was thinking they were sticking with it too long just because Sam Houston State hit like back-to-back threes over them. But overall, the Bearcats could not keep up with that shooting, and it worked. It's maximizing the advantages that UNLV has, which is athleticism and length. Which on defense you can use that to set up your offense, get yourself some easy points, which that's the type of stuff you talked about. You know, what if Vaughn isn't shooting very well? Well, let's get a bunch of easy transition buckets, and it doesn't matter who's hitting those layups, that kind of thing. So we'll see. I'm hoping for a good showing, whether they win or not. I want to see the Rebels, you know, competitive. I want to see them learn from this weekend. And we'll see. I'm excited about it. We're getting into the good stuff here as UNLV football heads to Hawaii this weekend. I think they're getting
11.
Oh, it got bumped up. Wow. I mean, these are two of the worst teams in the country.
Yes.
And they're getting 11.
Somebody said it would be called the toilet bowl.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Scarlet and gray every day.
Rough,
by the way, I hate those gray road uniforms.
Yeah, I think they're fine. I don't know.
I'm all for different colors. I mean, Yeah, either way, talk about it another
show. All I want to see is in 2 weeks bring back those Canon stickers on the helmet. But since they lost wearing those 2 years ago, I don't think we'll ever see them again, unfortunately. That's the one remaining thing I have to look forward to in this UNLV football season. But basketball, there's plenty to do, and I'm sure I will find plenty to do in Brooklyn as well. Check out LasVegasSun.com all week. We're going to have a bunch of stuff. Plus, mentioned here, you know, UNLV volleyball has a big match Wednesday, going for a program record win, and as they're competing for NCAA tournament berth, and UNLV men's soccer NCAA tournament game on Thursday against UC Irvine. Good year for the fall sports.
First time since 88, Rebels in the soccer tournament.
Yeah, and this is – so, I mean, it's one of their better years in program history, and for volleyball, it's looking like the best year in program history. So just some nice things for fans to check out. Women's basketball is also getting going over there. And actually, that November 29th, I mentioned that that men's basketball is bumped to 3:30. Women's basketball is at noon. So if you want to, you get a full day there UNLV athletics.
And today, if you're one of the first 2,500 people at the Rebel game,
yeah, you get some glasses. I want me some of those.
Me too.
I'm gonna see if I can get the hook up there. Anyway, that is Ray. I am Taylor. This has been the Rebel Room. We'll see you guys next week.